The iGUIDE Korea Podcast, episode number one.
Get amped, get stoked, get ready to play. This is the iGUIDE Korea Podcast, your source for adventure and thrills in Korea's rocking outdoors. Come out and play with us.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the first ever episode of the iGUIDE Korea Podcast. I'm Eddie Park, and this podcast is here to take you on a tour of the more extreme side of South Korea. We cover rock climbing, mountain biking, ice climbing, mountaineering, camping, and other awesome outdoor activities because the world is a playground. So let's go and play. As an introduction episode to the iGUIDE Korea Podcast, I thought it'd be fitting to start with a series of introductions. So this series is called Introducing Korea's Outdoor Adventure. And this is part one of the four-part series. In this episode, I'll be covering Korea's most popular outdoor sport, which is hiking. In part two, I'll be covering technical climbing, such as rock climbing and ice climbing. In part three, we look at biking, specifically mountain biking. And the final episode in the four-part series will be covering water sports, like rafting and dragon boat racing. Before I start today's episode, though, I'd like to give you a little background to who we are at iGUIDE Korea. So way back in 2007, I started iGUIDE Korea. And the company was started with the hopes to give foreigners a different perspective of Korea, a more natural and thrilling perspective. Back then, many people in the expat community felt there was nothing to do in Korea except work and drink. There were so few outlets and resources for foreigners to have adventure in Korea. I remember sitting outside in front of a convenience store in Daejeon, drinking a beer with a colleague, listening to him drone on about how there was nothing to do and how he had to get out of the city and how the hustle and bustle was wearing him down. And I was like, what are you talking about? This view he had was so different in how I saw Korea. I personally came to Korea with a duffel bag of climbing gear and pictures of gorgeous granite spires and beautiful mountainous landscapes. So I invited him to go camping, hiking, and rock climbing. But he was like, nah. He'd rather just go to Seoul and drink more beer at the bars. I was like, what? Right? So after listening to him for months babble about nothing to do, I basically showed up to his house on Saturday morning, stuffed his hungover body into the car, and we went out. Once he was too out of breath to complain about the hike, it kind of hit him that this was a really nice change. And once we got to the top of the hike with nobody around, with the country laid out below us, he was like, this is awesome. And once I got him roped up and rock climbing, he was like, you do this every weekend? And I was like, yeah, I do. It changed his perspective of the country and it changed his life here. He never thought he could have that kind of adventure. And that's how the company started, to give people the opportunity to enjoy the Korean outdoors. And this podcast is an extension of that purpose. I hope to be able to inform and inspire people to head outside and play. And one real easy way to do that is hiking. Now, when most people think of Korea, the natural landscape is the last thing they think of. What most people commonly know about South Korea is North Korea, Seoul, or the drinking stories from friends I've taught over here. Mind you, some of those stories are hilarious. But the fact of the matter is, 70% of Korea is covered in gorgeous, mountainous geography. And those mountains are an intrinsic part of Korean culture. You know, many of the dishes that Koreans eat come from plants in the forest. For example, one of my favorite dishes is dotorimok, or acorn jelly, which is made from acorn from the trees in the forest. And of course, there's ginseng. Before it became commercialized, ginseng was harvested from the forest floor. And now wild ginseng fetches outrageous prices like $1.57 million per ounce. And then there's a Korean national anthem titled Eguka. It refers to mountains in 6 out of 8 of its verses. Additionally, the mythical origin of the country started on the top of a mountain, on top of Taebaek Mountain, when the Son of God came down to start his own nation. With mountains so ingrained in the country and the culture, you would think that they have an outdoor sport scene, and they do. The most developed and popular outdoor sport in Korea is hiking. And on any given weekend, on practically any hiking trail in Korea, you'll see scores of hikers. In 2010, Gallup Korea estimated the number of hikers to be 15 million. In 2014, Media Jeju estimated the number to have increased to 20 million. Keep in mind that the population is 50.2 million people, according to 2013 surveys. So that's like close to half the population heading into the mountains on the weekends. They say that the rise in hikers is attributed to the ongoing national trend towards a more active lifestyle. And this trend is a result of the general rise in the standard of living in the country. And, probably more importantly, the five-day work week, which was introduced in 2004. So people have more time to go out and do stuff. According to a 2013 survey by the Ministry of Culture, Sports and Tourism, 45.5% of the people exercise regularly. That's once a week or more. And about 1 million people newly started exercising in 2013. And I bet most of these people are hiking. For good reasons. You know, it's a relatively cheap activity. All you really need is some determination to get up those hills. And if you got that, some extra cash lying around, go get some hiking boots. Many of Korea's hikes are rocky and steep, so you'll want that extra support and protection. The steepness is also a reason why you'll see a lot of people using hiking poles. I will unabashedly say that I use hiking poles. They have saved my knees. As for clothing, you don't really need to get all that fancy Gore-Tex clothing, but when the weather conditions get wet and cold, you'll be thankful that you did. They do have a rainy season in Korea, and that's from around July to August. One thing you'll see on the trails is a lot of well-dressed Korean hikers. They're often sporting the latest fashion trends in outdoor clothing. And actually, Vincent Waters of Arc'teryx, a high-valued Canadian outdoor company, he said that Korea is considered the second biggest outdoor market in the world, and he said that in 2014. The Korean BizWire reported that in 2013, the value of the Korean outdoor goods market was 6.4 trillion won, about 57.6 billion US dollars. And the top four players in the outdoor clothing industry in terms of sales revenue are the North Face, Kolon Sport, K2 Korea, Black Yak, and Nepa, in no particular order. So if you're looking for fancy technical outerwear, you'll have no problems finding a large selection in Korea. What you might have problems finding is the right size, especially if you're a bigger person. From my experience, this means something like your height is over 6 feet, pant size is over like 36 inches, your feet are bigger than US size 10. If you're fitting in those dimensions, then you'll probably have a hard time finding stuff out here for you. You can buy bigger stuff, but you'll probably just have to special order it, and it'll take a little bit longer. Being from Canada, I find that foreign brands to be quite more expensive in Korea. The top domestic brands are not that much better either in terms of price. But you can get some decent, lesser-known brand name stuff out here as well. So if you're not really into all the brand name stuff, you'll have lots of selections. You can also forego all that technical clothing too, and literally feel the ground beneath your feet. There's this one mountain in the city of Daejeon called Gaejuk-san, or Gaejuk Mountain. Oh, by the way, San in Korean means mountain. So the San in Gaejuk-san means Gaejuk Mountain. Okay, a little Korean lesson there for you. Anyways, this mountain has a 14-kilometer red clay hiking path made specifically for people to hike in their bare feet. It's a great feeling. Don't knock it until you try it. Especially during the summer, the path feels so nice and cool on the feet, and apparently it's quite therapeutic. I've also added a link to more information on that mountain in the show notes, and those are available at www.iguidekorea.com/podcast-1.html. Once again, iguidekorea.com/podcast-1.html. And this mountain is literally in the city and has camping options as well. And that's another great reason to start hiking in Korea, the accessibility of trails. There's a plethora of hiking in Korea, from the neighborhood mountain to the scenic national parks and everything in between. There's so much to choose from, and they're literally everywhere in the country. And the trails are often very well marked and very well serviced. The most common place that people go to hike are the national parks, and many can be accessed by public transit. In Seoul, for example, the Dongbongsan entrance to Pukansan National Park is next to Dongbong subway station, subway line 1 and subway line 7, exit 1. Entry fees for the parks are very reasonable, ranging from nothing to 2,500 Korean won, which is about, what, a little less than $2.50 USD. For more information on the parks and how to get to them, there are a few handy resources I've collected for you here. Don't worry about writing them all down or memorizing them, as I've included them all in the show notes. And those, as mentioned before, are available at www.iguidekorea.com/podcast-1.html. So let me give you a quick rundown of the resources that I think will help you with your hike to Korean mountains. The first one is the Korean National Park Service website at english.knps.or.kr. This website provides up-to-date information on the national parks, including seasonal closures that's due to weather or fire safety. You can also make reservations to the Park Service's mountain shelters through the site. And additionally, there are forums for backcountry travel or off-trail access that are available there. But you'll need someone proficient in Korean to navigate those forums because they're only in Korean. In later podcasts, I hope to show you how to navigate through some of the Korean language sites so you can really get the full potential of the Korean national parks. Another website is the Korea Tourism Organization website. If you type Korean national parks in that website search bar, you'll get some really good useful information. And they're at english.visitkorea.or.kr. Then there's a company called Hiking Hub, and they have this website at hikinghubkorea.com. I'm not sure if the company's still running because I've sent them an email and a message on Facebook with no response, but on the site there are some great mini guides to some excellent mountains. The mini guides give you a Google Maps location of the destinations, suggest things to see and tell when to visit, and other great information. Hopefully the company's still running because the mini guides they offer are a great service. So what can you expect when you get to these trails? Well, the hiking here is quite strenuous since the terrain is quite vertical and commonly rocky, but it's beautiful. CNN did a travel article, about the seven gorgeous Korean mountain hikes, and that's also available in the show notes. It's a great article, but I guarantee that there are much more than seven gorgeous places in Korea. And if you don't come from a country with autumn leaves, then make sure you hike in Korea during Dangpung season. Dangpung. Korean has a word for leaves changing color, and that's Dangpung. The maples create these fiery reds, and the ginkgos are bright sunshine yellow. The spring is also pretty amazing, and there are like pinks, yellows, pinks from the azaleas, and then there are these awesome cherry blossoms. When the white flower blooms from these cherry blossoms, it gives us a scent that characterizes spring. Fresh, sweet. It's also pretty awesome to be in the middle of one of these cherry blossom stands when the wind picks up, because what the wind will do is they'll send all the white petals into the air, making it look like it's snowing. It's beautiful. In terms of summers, they're hot and humid in Korea, but that creates a super lush green landscape. One thing I like doing in the summers is go for a hike to a waterfall, especially a few days after a good rain. So what you do is you'll get all sweaty and then shower under this refreshingly cool waterfall. Make sure you go to the proper waterfall because you're not supposed to bathe in these waterfalls, especially the touristy ones. But if you're up for an adventure and you like to explore stuff, you'll be able to find many cascading waterfalls because the mountains are full of these, especially after a rain. And when the summer's gone and the fall has passed, don't think the hiking season is over. I really like hiking in the winters in Korea. Coming from Montreal, Canada, I don't find the winters here too harsh. Yes, it does get cold. The average temperature in the 3 to 4 months of winter is around -4 degrees Celsius. But what I really like about the winter is that the snow will even out the rocky terrain, making it a faster and smoother hike. It kind of like just smooths it all out by filling all the cracks and spaces with snow. In case you're worried about slipping, Koreans have created these awesome slip-on crampons that work over your normal hiking boots. And I've also used them on running shoes. They stay in place so they don't move around, and they make sure that each step is secure. I don't hike in the winter without these guys. They're awesome. And these crampons are readily available in almost any outdoor shop in Korea. My last reason to hike, I know I'm pushing this winter thing, but it's good. My last reason to hike in the winter is the crowds. There are less people. Keep in mind, I did say less, not a little. One thing you can expect to find especially at the more popular hiking venues like national parks, are people. Koreans love to hike, and you'll find lots of people during peak times. And peak times are like when the leaves change color during the fall or the blooming of the flowers during the spring. Those will bring the large crowd. But there are also lesser known places, especially ones that are far from major city centers. And you can get away from crowds then. And if you really want to get away from crowds, just get deep in the trails. You'll find most of the crowds usually congregate at the park entrances. So as soon as you get away from the park entrances and you get to the beginning of the trails, you'll find the crowds will disappear. You can also expect to see people picnicking in Korea. And if Koreans are hiking with a group of people, they will bring a mini feast with them, complete with rice, kimchi, and rice wine. You might even get a high-spirited Korean offer you to take part in their meal or give you a drink. Enjoying real food in the mountains is probably a major reason that sport energy bars are not readily available in Korea. You can't find Cliff bars or Power bars in stores here. Yeah, they have local brand name energy bars, but they're small and they're definitely not the thick, heavy bars that you'll find in North America. But they don't need it, I guess, because they've got rice, they've got vegetables, they bring stuff, they bring a meal. It's kind of neat. By now, I hope I've inspired a little more curiosity into exploring the hiking in Korea. And if I have, I'd like to suggest my favorite place to hike, and that's Soraksan National Park. It was designated as a biosphere preservation district by UNESCO in 1982. Soraksan is truly a beautiful place. The park is located in the northeastern part of the country near the city of Sokcho. It's part of the Taebaek mountain range and is the highest peak of the mountain range. It's also next to the East Sea. What I like about this place is that there's so much to do there. While you're hiking, the valley walls are so steep that they create a sense of isolation. You feel so small and you feel like you're really in the wilderness. The granite peaks are very impressive, especially Ursan Bawi, which looks like a dragon's back. Very cool. One popular hiking course is to go to Taechongbong, which is the highest peak at 1,708 meters. It's a tough, steep, and kind of long hike, about 5.5 hours one way from the Sorakdong entrance. But what people like to do is spend the day hiking to Jeongchunbong, which is a shelter, a mountain hut shelter, that's about 600 meters below the peak of Taechongbong. And what they'll do is that they'll spend the night there and then hike to the peak to catch the sunrise coming out of the East Sea. It's an awesome display of nature. It's kind of neat watching the head of the sun come out of the ocean like that. And if you're not up for the long hike, there are smaller hikes to do. Still lots to see. There are 4 other mountain shelters to stay at. Plenty of trails and waterfalls. If you do stay at one of these shelters, though, keep in mind it's communal sleeping. And so snoring can be a problem. And so when I go, I usually bring earplugs and a sleeping mask for my eyes because some people will arrive in the middle of the night and their flashlights can wake you up. For most of the huts, you should make a reservation via the Korean National Park Service website. You can take a chance and go without a reservation, but you might be out of luck, especially during the weekends and high season. Please note that there is no tent camping in the park, so if you are forced to sleep outside, then it should be an emergency bivy. Just in case, a bivy is when you sleep with just your sleeping bag and a sleeping bag, no tent. So if you do decide to stay overnight, there is overnight parking available if you want to drive there, or you can take the transit bus from Sokcho City. Like I said, these parks are quite accessible in Korea. When you've had your fill of hiking, get out of the park and you can get some fresh seafood from the market next to the harbors or enjoy one of the beautiful beaches off the coast. It's got tons of stuff out there. So if you're amped to get out and check out some of these amazing hikes like Soraksan at these beautiful parks, but you don't want to do it alone, you don't have to. There are guiding services in Korea that cater to foreigners. One such company is called Hike Korea and it's owned by one Roger Shepherd. You can visit the website at hikekorea.com. Roger's hiking accomplishments are pretty incredible. He has basically hiked the length of the peninsula by traversing Baekdudaegan, which is the unbroken mountain chain that stretches from North and South Korea. He has published a hiker's guidebook for that trail and another photography book on the same subject. pretty interesting stuff. And he's also had a few interviews as well about his adventure. Speaking of venture, there is also Adventure Korea. This company has been around for a while, like since 2002, I believe. Their longevity and popularity is a testament to their quality of service. They've always been popular since I've been here. Now, they're a travel company, so they organize all sorts of trips, not only hikes. For just hiking or for just climbing in general, there's also a meetup group called Climbing in Korea. If you go to meetup.com and type Climbing in Korea, you'll be able to find the group. This group has been gaining lots of popularity as well. If you're thinking of an easy, affordable, and healthy way to explore Korea, get into hiking. With so many available resources, you can get started on your own or hook up with one of these groups and get to meet new people. Maybe, you know, your next long life friend. All you need to do is put one foot in front of the other and walk out the door. You'll get to experience a better, beautiful Korea. Well, that's it for this podcast. I hope that this has in some way inspired you to go outdoors and live a healthier and happier life. And for those of you who are already hiking, I hope that you continue to spread the word so that others can benefit from a satisfying life that blends nature and play. I'll talk to you in 2 weeks when I release part 2 of our series and introduce you to rock climbing and ice climbing in Korea. Until then, be safe and go outside and play.